All right, it's good to see you guys here. My name is Johnny. If you do not know me, I am a youth leader here at Calvary Chapel St. George. Thank you guys for being here this evening to support. If you do not know, this is PAW, or Pray Around the World, and yeah, got it. I've been calling it Prayer Around the World just naturally, but Pray Around the World, and the whole point of this is that we get to hear from our missionaries and our workers that are sent out across the world. If you're new to the church, then maybe you haven't seen, but there's a big map in the East Commons over here, and we have the different missionaries and workers that we support and partner in the field with. And so we come here every first Wednesday of the month. We highlight one of the missionaries or workers, and we hear from them. Our prayer is that we get to hear from them in person, but since some of them are working across the world, it can be difficult to get them here every time. So we do video calls as well. So our plan was to highlight Ron Brink, and he still is going to be our focus for this month, but we are unfortunately not able to have him in person due to unforeseen circumstances and I'd say like a family emergency. And so you guys can be lifting him and Donna Brink up, but we are going to be hearing from, we're still going to be focusing on Mexico. We just had a team go to Mexico. If you do not know, Mark and Laurel Pearson, they lead teams from this church, and they partner with Cedar City, or I don't know who you guys partner with, Hurricane. And so they just went on a trip this past weekend, and so they're going to be sharing about what the Lord did this past weekend and the different things going on in Mexico. And so, again, if you don't know, we hear from them. And then at about 8 o'clock, we break off into different prayer groups, and we lift up all of the needs from the missionaries. And so there's these people called core group leaders. They have signed up to be responsible or over a missionary, and so that's keeping in contact with them, reading their updates, so that when we come here, you guys can sit in the circle, and the core group leader will lead the prayer, and they'll inform you about the prayer requests and the needs and things like that. And so, if you're not familiar, we send out missionaries because we have the desire to fulfill the Great Commission, which Jesus has given us before he left. He called us all to make converts of all nations, right? Oh, I feel like I'm in youth. This is the call and response. Thank you. Not converts, but disciples of all nations, right? And so more than just going on, just going and saying hi and bye and preaching the news and leaving, we have missionaries that are set up there full time that have surrendered their American life to go live among different people groups, to live among them, and in hopes to make disciples of all nations. So that's why we gather here. That's why we support them. And so if you're new to Calvary Chapel, our heart is to be a missions-minded church, to be a sending hub and a support hub for these people that have this desire to cross boundaries of physical country boundaries, but also language barriers and cultural barriers to go love people across the world. And so it's a blessing to be a part of it. And one of the best ways that we can support is coming to PAW Night. So I want to thank you guys for being here and just encourage other people. If I didn't do this, but I was thinking about it, and I should have, is like just messaging the young adults group and encouraging them to come here, because it's important that when a missionary comes here in person that they see their church, their home church, supporting them, right? And that when they walk in the building, people recognize who they are. And so if you guys do not know, we actually have a missionary here. Pat, if you welcome back. And it's a blessing to see you here. And I hope that this... It rings true that when she walks in the building that it's not a bunch of strangers, right? That we do our due diligence to sign up for the missionary updates, to hear about what's going on, and so that it's not like when she walks in, nobody knows her. And so I would encourage you guys, since she is here, go and encourage her, love her, hug her, right? And take her out to dinner or something. But I'm not going to carry on too much because they have a lot of pictures, but they did go on this trip recently to Mexico, and we're going to get to hear all about it. So if you guys would, come on up. I'll trade you places.
Okay, you want this side or that side? You're good? Well, I am Mark Pearson. This is my wife, Laurel, and we, just like Johnny was saying, we lead the trips that go down to Mexico, and it's been a blessing to be able to do that for the many, many years and get to know many people in this room, some people we don't know, so hopefully you'll come sometime so we can get to know you. Yes, we just as Johnny said, we want to go through and make sure to lift up Pastor Ron. and Donna. They had a tragedy in their family, and we also want to, while we was down there, and also would like to lift up Pastor Daniel, that used to be a big part of the training center down in Awaken, and that for his family, he's got four daughters and his wife, and he passed away Friday. And so, and he was doing, he had relocated down to Rosarito, and yeah, so just keep his family in prayer. That was tough, you know, because for, even for all the people in the base, for Melody and Caesar and Pastor Jeff and all those that they were close friends with, yeah, he'll be truly missed. And so.
Picture number one.
Okay, picture, yeah, we're just going to sort of go through pictures. This is sort of a sporadic kind of thing, so have grace on us. Okay, picture number one is Ron and Donna, and he's the one that oversees the five churches that we're going to be showing here. He's got many building projects going on. He's in charge of Touch Baja, and he's even went through and he's became a citizen of Mexico. So he's not just a pastor down there. He's a bona fide citizen, and so he thought that would be good because, you know, he ministers to the people in Mexico. So, yeah, so that's cool.
Next picture. So this is Ramon and Sarah. Ramon is the assistant pastor who comes alongside and really is the right-hand man of Ron. He also speaks English, which is wonderful for me because even though we've been going to Mexico all this time, I'm sorry, I do not speak Spanish. Neither does Mark. So he helps all the time with prayer requests. If I can't get a hold of Pastor Ron, I can always reach out to Ramon. He's always helping me out. They're extremely busy. They oversee the school at Xochimilco, and their daughter just got accepted into university so that she can become a kindergarten teacher and come back and help them teach the students at Xochimilco. So it's great. Next slide.
Okay, this is Pastor Jorge and Erica. And Pastor Jorge has been here before. It's been a long time since he's been here. But he oversees the church in Santa Fe. And yeah, we've been praying for him for quite a while in our prayer group. And he's, you know, they were praying for a building for a long time. There was renting, and the Lord just came through mightily. And he came through mightily with this spectacular building. And we'll be talking about that a little bit later. But they've got a school in Santa Fe. So, and they've also have a compassion ministry where they go out to the hospitals and we get together. We went on the compassion ministry with them to the hospitals, and we go through and we go up into the room sometimes and pray. But if we don't, we make sandwiches and stuff like that. And so the parents that are there, you know, we feed them and just pray for them and just try to comfort them a little bit. So,
because their hospital systems aren't the same as ours. When a loved one goes into the hospital, the families have to go and support them. They aren't fed meals. You know, the people there aren't fed meals, so the family has to take care of that family member. Mm-hmm. So we go in and help the family members that are there with those who are sick.
Which is good. It is a big blessing for the families. So that's way cool. Okay, next. Okay, this is Leo and Yareth. And I don't think her name's pronounced totally Yareth, but anyway, it's close. And they oversee the church in Del Prado. And he's the pastor there. And what's this?
So a member of their body, Alejandro, actually just started a similar ministry going into the Social Security Hospital. And the Social Security Hospital is much worse off than the private hospitals. So the people going there. So they're just starting that ministry.
Yes, and also Pastor Leo, he at the Awaken Training Center, he helps with the kids and teaching the kids, and so that's way awesome. Okay, next.
Okay, this is Juan and Jessica, and he's the pastor at Granjas. That's probably one of the toughest ministries down there. Granjas is a very, very tough area. We've been praying for quite a few months that they would be able to open their soup kitchen, and we were really excited to read in the last newsletter from Touch Baja that their soup kitchen is open. So that's a praise, but when we were, Juan speaks English as well, so when we were down there, I was able to ask him some questions about it, and we found out that there are some mornings, where even though it's more than they had before, some mornings the only thing they're able to give those kids because of a shortness of funds is powdered milk. So it's praise that that ministry is up and running, but they're very short on funds. And so if anyone has a heart, they're also working on a church plant with Sochi Milko to be in the Rosarito area. So another church plant. So that's exciting. Next slide. And I feel bad because this picture is very old, but this is Pastor Jose Roberto and his wife San Juana, and I don't know their little girl's name, but we got new pictures of everybody, but unfortunately when we were there, he and his wife, he used to be a mechanic, so he was asked to help fix Jorge's car, and so the party that we had for them, he was not able to come. So it was very sad, but he's the pastor of Pueblos Magicos. He actually lives in Santa Fe, which is many miles from Pueblos Magicos, and so he has to drive back and forth, and so it takes a lot of his time.
About an
hour and a half to go there. So he also has 5 kids. And although they just received a new car, they're praying, it wasn't big enough for the whole family, so they're praying that they're going to be able to sell that car and get a little bit bigger one so that they are able to take the whole family. But his two oldest kids are actually taking music lessons so that they can help with the worship ministry there at the church.
Okay, next. Okay, this is my little buddy Emmanuel and his wife Marisol. And he's the one that oversees the rehab, which is a tough, tough job. From ages 11 to 17, he takes these, they take these kids. They don't take just everybody in, but they take the kids in there. And he goes through and ministers to these kids. They put them to work. They'll take them to, like, some of the outreaches that we do. They'll bring them and they'll work with us. And it's just he's just got a heart. Him and his sidekick is Christian, and I can't think what his wife's name is, but anyway. The both of those just, we went out to Carmen Serdan before, and they set up tents out there, and they even have them out, like, I don't know if you've ever been to Walmart, like, first thing in the morning. They used to do this, and they had them do exercises, right? First thing in the morning to get warmed up. So I think there's still companies that do that. And so that's what he does with these kids is he gets, get out of the tent, get up here and do these exercises and get them sort of whipped into shape. But it's tough, because these kids are, they've been messed up on drugs and there's a lot of baggage that goes with that, trying to get them squared around. And so, yes, so praise the Lord for him. And he's got two twins.
Twins are two.
Or excuse me, yeah. Yeah, not one two year twins. Old. Yeah, 2 1-year-old twins. And the little boy there is 4 years old, and they had some difficulty. We was praying for them, I think, a couple of months ago because they didn't know, they were very sick.
Next.
Okay, next.
So here's the team.
Yes, okay, this is the team when we got back from, we're a little bit tired looking, but this is the team when we came back from St. George. There was 8 of us, and some of the stuff we went through and done down there was we went through and In Santa Fe, Pastor Ron is going through and trying to fix up these buildings. He's got like 4 buildings down there. And so we was able to go through there and do some painting and do some tile work. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done down there. But it was just this whole area is just a total blessing with 4 buildings. They've got their sanctuary there. And so when we can go down there and help out, and it's going to also be a place to be able to host teams. that come from different churches down in Mexico. So, yeah. So that's what they're doing. Just before they got the building, it sort of amazed me because they had all. Somebody went in and took all the windows out and sold them for like $10 a window. We're talking big, huge windows. And this is before it was purchased by Pastor Ron and Santa Fe, and sold them for $10. So they had to go through and replace every window in the whole complex. And there's still a few that they haven't replaced. But they're able to do, they can do different outreaches there. They've made themselves a little soccer field there, so it's pretty cool.
Okay, next slide. So another thing that we got to do while we were there is we got to do a pastor appreciation for all the pastors. That's the party that Jose Roberto and his wife didn't get to go to because of their servant's heart. But as you can see, we decorated in black and white. We had twinkle lights, and then this picture doesn't have the candles lit, but floating candles and a lot of you probably know Dustin and Heather from the pastor and his wife at Calvary Chapel, Hurricane Valley. And Heather came and she did a really good job of fixing chicken cordon bleu for all of them. We were able to serve them rice pilaf and with a sauce and a salad and rolls and a couple of different kinds of cheesecake. So it was really fun. Next picture. So yeah, here they are with the candles lit and enjoying each other's company and the food. Next picture. And then cheesecakes, of course, always top everything off and make it better. So next picture. So we played a whole bunch of games, and they, the sillier the better. Mark didn't know this picture was going to be up here. So he and Pastor Ron are facing off, and you have to put Vaseline on your nose and pick up the cotton ball, and the one who gets the most in the bowl with your hands behind your back, the one who wins. And actually, if you look in the back, the gal in the back, she had won all the games, so they just were contending with her, and she whooped them. Man, I think she had like 20 cotton balls or something. She needed a new bowl. So, but it was so much fun, and they were just laughing, and everybody was, you know, Mark, 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 Mark. So it was, yeah, we didn't want to play. I ended up having to suck up some marshmallows, but I didn't do very good at it. So anyway, they had a lot of fun. The church purchased a Bible study program called Logos for each of the pastors. And so they were truly blessed. So Calvary Chapel St. George did that for them. And then there were some people who put in some monetary amount that we were able to bless them with. And we had they won prizes for the games. And then we had drawings that they were able to win some more prizes. So it was a really fun, blessed night. So next picture.
Okay, the only thing with the prizes, I'm just going to throw this out there. So in case you ever decide to buy a Home Depot card in the United States, they don't honor them in Mexico. So we got these prizes thinking, okay, this is great. And Ron says, I don't think they honor these in Mexico. So I don't know how they're going to have to work that out. They won the prize, you know. Yeah. Anyway, where are we at?
So now you're just
okay. Yeah, we like I was saying earlier, we went through and done some painting. And so, yeah, I sort of named this painting team Calvary Chapel Paint and Primer. So these gals are pretty awesome. And so, you know, you might be able to talk them into coming doing some painting at your house or at the church or something, because they were good, yeah. I think they burned up, 20 gallons of paint, something like that. It was maybe more. Okay, well, we got four pictures. Okay, let's the next. Okay, yeah, so you're getting into the nooks and the crannies and it's all cinder block and cement. Next. Okay, and then so you could roll the paint, but they had the mortar joints inside the block, and so one person would go through and roll it up, and then the gals would go back and they would paint in between the mortar joints. Okay, next pick. Okay, and I think that there's Pastor Ron, and I don't know, I think they're on a I think they're on an international break or something. I don't know what's going on there. Yeah. So the guy with the hat on right there is Pastor Ron. Okay, and then also we went through and Manny and Caesar. That's the husband of one of the girls that I came down in 2002 and was ministering to many years ago. Anyway, her husband came to know the Lord. He's just an on fire missionary. He goes around Mexico and he just loves to serve, and so he will. Oh, that's Caesar right there. Well, you can't see the front of him. That is Caesar right here, too. It's at the front. Well, you got the back. You must have the front. Okay. So, anyways, so yeah, we told him. He says, "What are you guys doing?" He says, "Well, we're going to put a little bit of tile up." So he brought his son Caesar, Manny, and Caesar came down and helped us lay tile. And this guy's a construction guy, and he just got after it. And so I was cutting for him, and then they put the tile up in the shower. So, yeah, that was cool. Okay, next.
Well, we're missing a picture, so we'll come back to that. Okay. So now you get to actually tell them about Santa Fe.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, best bear with me. We just put this thing together just today. Okay. As Santa Fe, like I say, they purchased this new piece of property, and this is something, like I said, we've been praying for quite a while, and they've been praying for quite a while. That they would be able to get this piece of property. And they got this piece of property for fairly cheap because there was all these buildings on it. And so when they went to get a price on it, you know, nobody wanted the buildings there. And so that affected the price because, you know, they got this all this land here that they wanted to subdivide, but they didn't want the buildings. Well, for Santa Fe, it was a blessing. All these four buildings and this church, it used to be, I think a nun's, yeah, nun's ministry right there. And so that was just way cool. In fact, you can even get back on the back and you can look out and you can even see the ocean out there. So it is just a spectacular piece of property. So we're really excited to go down there and help them out because one of the ministries that they do is they, kids that have got cancer that are down south, they, you know, there's no place for them down there to be able to, well, there's places, I'm sure, but they come up into Tijuana to get cancer treatments, but the parents don't have any place to stay, so they're staying inside the hospital or just outside the hospital, yeah, sleeping on the floor or whatever. And so with this, when we was down there, there's a team, Fervent, a.k.a. Lone Mountain. These name changes sort of blow me away. Anyway, it's tough to keep track of my own name, let alone church names. So they came down, and they were framing some walls and framing some rooms for these families. When they come down, they've got a place to stay. And so that's, And so they went through, and they framed up three or four different bedroom-type things. And, while they was there. So that was cool. And okay, this picture right here is inside the sanctuary, and where that round circle is right there is inside the bookstore. And so this was, and yeah, the ceiling is, it's sort of cool. It's a round sanctuary. It's sort of a, and it's got like a dome ceiling in it with these big skylights on it. And so it's pretty neat. We've been able to go through there and go to a couple of the services over there. So it's been, yeah, it's awesome. And yes, okay, so the area, that's what I said earlier, the area that we was painting and getting ready are going to be, and the showers are going to be for teams that come down. And so there's a possibility for probably 20, 25 different rooms, and they've got it set up where they can have a couple different showers and stuff set up, when they completely get it finished up. So, and they're also, with one of the buildings, they've got, the school is upstairs, and so they're even able to expand. So they've came from 34 kids last year to over 60. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, because they've got the building, and it's just a matter of just, you know, time and finances and just getting all this these buildings put back together so they can use them.
Next slide. So the other ministry that we keep mentioning is Carmen Cerdan. So this is, Mark forgot to go to his next slide. So this is the round outside of the sanctuary. So next slide. Okay. This is the back of Santa Fe, and you can't see it because of all the smog, but the ocean is out there. So that's the part. Some of the buildings.
And they cleaned that off just to the left, and they made that into a soccer field, so they can have the kids can go down and play soccer and whatnot.
Okay, try next slide. Okay, here's the other picture. So this is Manny and Wendy. So Wendy was about 9 years old, right in the middle with the little boy in front of her. She was about 9 years old when the teams originally started going down and ministering to who she calls her aunt, Maria Luisa, and she raised up some of the kids that were going to have to be put back in the prison. And Wendy kind of walked away from the Lord for a time, and she lived with Manny down here, and they had Caesar in the Dodgers shirt and Jessica in the brown tank top and Angelica in the red sweater. And then after all the kids were born, they actually got married. And during all this time, Caesar didn't know the Lord, and Wendy had kind of walked away. But eventually, one of the trips we went down, Manny came to the training center, and he was at the gate trying to get in, and he said, "I need to talk to Mark." And he came in and just told Mark, "Wendy's kicked me out. I don't know what to do. What do I do?" And he was just, I need my wife. I need my family. And Mark just sat down with him and just told him, "You know what you need to do. You need to accept the Lord, and you need to change your life." And he has, like Mark said, he has completely turned his life over to the Lord. He goes on mission trips. They took all 8 of them on a mission trip down to Morales, somewhere like that, just this year. It's amazing. So then they decided, well, let's have one more kid. So 7 years later, they had little Marcos, yes, named after his namesake, and he's just as crazy. And then they had Naomi in the striped, and this is little...
drawing a blank.
Violet. Oh my gosh, Violetta. And so it's really interesting because there's 16, 14, 12, and then they go 5, 3, 1. So there's 2 separate sets, a boy, girl, girl, all 2 years apart. So anyway, next photo. So this is Shorty and Karina, and they oversee the Carmen Cerdan Center. So they have four kids that live there with them, 16-year-old twins and a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. And it's a secret, but Karina's having another baby. So anyway, we just found out. Next picture. In June, the team was able to go down, and this building is kind of like a barn. It's cinder block, and then it comes up, and it's a kind of a dome shape, you'll see. And so the team was able to work on some insulating some of the area that will be used for housing teams. Next slide. And so the young adults went with us, and they just got in there and got insulation all down their necks and their back of their shirts and everything, but they got it done. And next slide. Yeah. And there's Johnny up there pretending like he's doing something. Just kidding, yeah.
No, he was working.
He was. I just have to give him a bad time. So one of the main things that they're doing, one of the main things that they're doing at Carmen Sudan is they have beehives and they're making honey. And we got to bring back some of the first product of their honey product. So it says Overcomers, raw unfiltered honey, and it's Romans 8:37, be good to yourself, be good to others. And so this is part of, so eventually they'll have a discipleship school here at Carmen Sudan. So the kids who graduate from the youth rehab in Tijuana, when they're not, if they're not ready to go back and be with their families, they can, they'll come here and progress in their learning and hopefully become disciples and be used by the Lord. And so they're trying to make it so that they're self-supportive. So Donna teaches the kids how to handle the bees, and obviously they've got their first crop. And so then, next slide. All the gals who went down on the trip in June were able to put together a ladies' tea for Pueblos Magicos for the ladies there. So we decorated a bunch of notebooks for the ladies. So it was really fun. So, this gal is up at Colorado City. They oversee the ministry up in Colorado City. So they were able,
Common Grounds.
And so they were able to come and go with us on that June trip. So next slide. So coming up very, very soon, I know it's only October, but Christmas will be here before we know it. So our Christmas trip is coming up. It's December 12th through the 15th. If you can't go, we would love if you would, if you feel led to donate some funds towards the boxes. We do 35 food boxes. Seven people from the five churches. The pastors choose the most needy families, and we get to go down, pray for them, drop food boxes. We also have three families that we support. We'll have more information coming on Sunday about the Christmas outreaches, and then we'll also be setting up a table in November to give more information. And also, out on the table, we were able to bring, I know you can't see it, but it's cards for Touch Baja, and you can go on Touch Baja and sign up for their newsletters. There's a few newsletters out on the table. And also, if you want to make any donations, they have different areas like the soup kitchen in Granjas and different things like that. There's a lot of needs with, I mean, we've covered just, you know, all the churches and a lot of the projects that are going on, but they're extensive. I mean, they're working all the time. Ron Brink, he is just overwhelmed. He's got so much going on with the schools, and they're actually gonna start, they're moving towards starting a school in Carmen Sudan as well. So tons of stuff going on. So, you know, any donations help with their needs. So we appreciate it.
Yes, you know, we have prayer around the world, and we go through and we pray for these people. And we have different, and I've just noticed even in our group, some of the prayers that have been answered, you know. And, you know, just like we've been praying for over a year or longer than that for Santa Fe. You know, that they would be able to get another building and something that was affordable that they could move into, because his rent and stuff is very expensive. And that came, that happened, you know, which is awesome. You know, and then also before we left, it was just really cool, the whole pastor appreciation that we had for the pastors. They, you know, I don't think anybody ever has ever done anything like that for them. And so, going through and just making it special, you know, with the fancy little twinkle lights. I told Laurel to stick some beef jerky or something in for centerpieces so the guys can, but she says that she ain't having any of that. So she made it, yeah, it was very nice. So before we left, Leo and Yareth came up to me, and you know, we said that we'd been praying for them, he came up to me and he says, I just want to thank you so much. He says, because we feel those prayers. You know, when you guys are praying and lifting us up, he says, there's many times when I've thought of just throwing the towel in and not go through and continue on in the ministry. But he says, just so you know, I just want to let you know that we do feel your prayers and we thank you so much for those prayers. So that, you know, this whole thing of praying for others, we may not see the things come to pass right immediately, and it might take a year, it might take, you know, 6 months or something like that, but these prayers do get answered, just like she was talking about the soup kitchen. You know, we've been praying for that for probably 6 months, and now there's a soup kitchen. You know, and they don't have a whole bunch of money to buy stuff, but what they do have, they go through and give to these kids, and so that's an awesome answer to prayer. You know, so our God is big, and he listens to our prayers, and yeah. Does anybody have any questions, or, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, if anyone has any questions, I can pass around the microphone. I'll get one started, and then as the ball gets rolling, you can lift your hand, and I'll walk over and hand you the microphone. All right, why should someone go on one of these short-term mission trips, or how would you encourage someone to, if they've never been, like, why do you think it's important to take that, maybe that step that's maybe uncomfortable, or...
I think it gets, you know, we're pretty comfortable here, and sometimes it's a good idea to be able just to see how blessed you really are, and by getting out of your comfort zone and going through and seeing people that are, you know, sometimes, you know, we complain about just little things, you know, this isn't going right, that isn't going right, you know, my life is so tough, but it just brings things back into reality to say, hey, you know, I don't have it that bad. You know, and praise the Lord that I'm, and be able to go down and just, and help, you know, bless whatever it is, whether it's doing a children's ministry, you know, whether it's going through and doing, I'm sort of a construction kind of guy, so that's what I like to do, whether it's to go through and help somebody out to re-putting their house back together. That we've went down there and houses have burnt down, and we've got in there and threw up some metal studs and closed it all in, and they're able to have a place to stay. So I think it's, you know, we always say this, and a lot of people say this that go out on the mission field, you know, you go down to bless people, but you do come back blessed, more blessed than when you left, just by going through and being able to, how that works, yeah, I don't know, but it does work. And so, I would encourage everybody to at least go once. And one thing about it is it's close. You know, we're only gone, you don't have to take off for, you know, months and months or whatever. You can just take off for 4 days, go down and serve other people, and just, so I'd encourage everybody, if you get the opportunity to, our Christmas trip is a real good trip, just like Laura was saying. We go down and pass out these food boxes, and then we take Bibles with us, stuffed animals, that kind of thing, for the kids, and then our biggest thing is we pray for them. So we ask them, you know, what do you need prayer for? And then we sit down and pray for them. And then we go through and we take their photo. And then we write their prayer request down. And then we come back here also. So we pray with them there. And then we come back in our circle. We'll pray for them, like in January, pray for those people that we'd went down and seen.
We make cards. So their pictures on the front and their prayer requests are on the back. And the people are asked to take it home and pray through the whole year for that family.
So,
Guy.
Hello. there's maybe concerns or entities that say it's not safe to go down there now. What's your experience as far as feeling safe, or what's it like being able to go down? And do you have concerns with your safety when you go down there?
Well, I've been going down there since 2002, and I've always felt good. about it. But you know, one thing is there's some pretty shady areas. But you know, you can go down to San Francisco and you can find some pretty shaky areas, or LA or whatever, New York or whatever. You just don't go into those areas. You know, our you know, that's a different ministry that goes through and comes alongside of the homeless and some of the other, you know, riffraff that's down there. Not that the homeless are all riffraff, but you know, just so yeah, we just don't go into those areas. We try to get some kind of a plan going, and we go through and just to serve with the other churches.
Pastor Ron's very
aware. Yeah, and Pastor Ron is very aware of, you know, where we should go and where we shouldn't go. And so yeah, it's safe. You get down there and it is safe. You know. Costco's a little bit crazy sometimes, but you know, other than that. What's that?
The parking lot of Costco.
Yeah, you know, they went through and they finally got that parking structure done. So it was slick. Yeah, it was really slick getting food this time because we had to go buy the food for the pastor appreciation. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Thanks. Have the signups actually started yet? I mean, can we go on the church website, or when will the signups actually start?
So the signups for the December trip will go out October 27th, and we will have a waiting list. We usually fill up pretty fast, but go ahead and sign up on the waiting list because, you know, people sign up fast, but then they haven't really checked their calendar. So we'll pack the vans as tight as we can go and get as many people down there as we can. So it is a great trip. All of the trips have been really fun. Ron's really had some great things for us to do. Like I said, we've been able to do a ladies' tea this year. We've been able to do the pastor appreciation, and now the Christmas trip is the next trip. So it's a good one. Mm-hmm. Any more questions?
Oh. How old can someone be, or do they have to be, to go on the trip? like, have any kids gone?
So we have taken kids. You saw a picture with the kids in there. So it varies.
Yeah. As long as they're accompanied by with their parents.
And
you know, obviously, you know, we don't want to go ahead.
It also helps to have the parent and the child the same sex, because we stay in the dorms, men stay in one dorm and women stay in another. So it's hard if you have a young one that's, you know, a male and you're a female, you wouldn't be able to stay in the same room. So they have to have a passport, they have to be accompanied by an adult, they have to. So it's kind of a case-by-case basis. We're kind of praying for wisdom because we've had a little bit of a struggle on a couple of the trips with kids. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it is a really good opportunity for kids though, because it does open their eyes, especially when they get down into areas like Grand Haas and places like that where they can see that there's quite a bit of poverty there, and they don't have, you know, all the things that maybe the kids here have. So, yeah.
Any other questions?
Where are these churches located in relationship to the training center? I mean, you said Grand Haas and here and there and Santa Fe. Where are these places?
Okay,
and I've been down
there,
and none of them are ringing a bell.
Well, I don't know if we've ever taken you to, I don't know if we've ever taken you to Grand Haas or not. You would know if you. But Grand Haas is not too far. It probably takes maybe a half hour to get down to Grand Haas from the training center.
Oh,
I'm guessing.
Okay.
Santa Fe, well, traffic's pretty bad, but it's probably about the same. It's about a half hour. Del Prado's a little bit further. It takes about an hour, 45 minutes, something like that. And then Pueblos Mágicos, you got to pack a lunch if you're going to go on that one, because it's probably an hour and a half to get the Pueblo, isn't it?
It's an hour and a half to Carmen's for Dan.
Okay, well, hour and 15 minutes. something like that. Anyway, it all depends on traffic, too. And then Sochi, Milko, is probably about another half hour. So they're sort of, they're just like little colonias, you know, where they've planted these churches. But
so it's kind of like going to from here to Santa Clara and here to Hurricane and then here to Apple Valley. So depending on which church we're ministering to that time, you just might have more driving, but they're all of them except, and Carmen Sardan is actually a little country area that's an hour and a half east of Tijuana. So when we go to Carmen Sardan, it's a totally different ball game. I mean, they're out in the country, it's quiet, you're competing with the roosters. Oh, you got roosters in Tijuana too.
And the cows to get sleep, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, it's another, we go in through Tecate instead of in through San Ysidro when we go into Carmen Sardan. So it's a whole nother trip. So different trip.
Different question. Whatever came of the Kumai Indians, are they still out there in the...
The Kumai Indians. Boy, yeah. I forgot about those guys. Yeah, we'd taken a couple of trips. I know you didn't because of that bumpy road going up out of Ensenada. I believe. I don't really know because I haven't I haven't asked Ron, and we haven't really, we sort of went away from going there. And we started going to San Vicente, because you know, which is a battered women's shelter, which is further south. So I'm not really sure what you know if the church is still up there. I don't know. That was a pretty touching place up there. There's a lot of alcoholism, and it was really sad for me. It was really sad to see these kids. Their parents just not taking care of them, and so we'd go up there and do outreaches up there for them, and they would just bring a little bit of joy to their life. So, yeah, I really don't know. I can find out, though, if I remember.
All right. Maybe like one more, and then we'll break off into prayer groups. One more? Or not. We can end there. All right. Thank you guys so much for sharing.
Okay. No, thank you for putting up with us.
So before we break off into the prayer groups, an encouragement for that is like, if you've never been on one of these trips, I would encourage you to get your passport now. Don't be waiting last minute. You'll have to expedite it. And there's really no excuse, I think, to not go. If you can get the time off far enough in advance and have a passport, don't let money be an issue either. And these trips can be life-changing. And so you can't use the excuse, well, I don't speak Spanish. They don't speak Spanish. They've been going down for 20 years. Or you can't say, oh, I don't really like know how to do construction. I went on the construction trip with no idea how to do it. He was very patient with me, and I ended up hopefully being somewhat useful. But whatever excuse you have for why you wouldn't go on these trips, I really think you can just throw them out the window. And I think taking those steps of faith would, like he said, will bless you more than you imagine. You're like, oh, well, I'm going to go down and be a blessing to these people. And oftentimes you are significantly more blessed than you could imagine. And so if you haven't been on one of these trips, I would encourage you, like he said, the Christmas trip fills up fast. So get your name on there and go if you've never gone. So, all right. Well, before we break apart, I'll explain how this works. So for the next 30 minutes, we'll break off into these different groups. You can choose which circle you want to sit at. And each group highlights a different area of ministry. And so back there, we have Mexico, and that covers our Mexican missionaries, including Caesar Melody and Pastor Ron, the base. And then back here, we have England with the herds. Over here, we have North Africa, and over here, we have Thailand. And so I would encourage you guys, so stand on up, and you can break off into the different groups. And then when you're there, the core group leader will direct you on how you can better pray for the missionaries. And I'll be back up here at about 8:25, 8:30, and I'll explain one more thing, and then we'll dismiss.